Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Great to pause in the middle of the afternoon. Well, I don't know if we call it the middle anymore when it's 4:30, but that's all right. At some point in the afternoon, we pause and open up God's Word together and spend some time looking into it. Well, if you're tuning in for the first time, just yesterday we finished off 2 Peter, and so we're making our way into 1 John now, and we're just heading towards the end of the New Testament. So we find ourselves in 1 John, the epistle written by John to the churches probably in Asia. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them up and follow along with me. 1 John, I wrote John, but it is 1 John, chapter 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless it to us, use it to nourish us and to turn us more into Jesus. Amen. Well, John is writing as an elderly man. We're not sure how old he is, but it's guessed that towards the end of the first century, John is writing to the churches. He's getting on in age. He probably knows himself that his time is drawing near. And just like we saw in 2 Peter, when a person draws near to the end of their life, they often will focus upon the things that they consider to be a priority. And so we saw for Peter that he started addressing the fundamentals of the faith, the most important things, longing for the churches to carry on in the truth. And really, the epistles of John follow suit. As John nears the end of his ministry, he writes and he addresses the fundamentals of the faith. And really, you could summarize the sort of main emphases of 1 John with three things. He wants to stress, or he's going to stress the true God, the true Savior, the true Christ. You see, he wants us to have true belief. He's going to stress true obedience. What does true obedience look like? And he's going to stress true love. What does true love for one another look like? And those three things really do summarize the core of what we believe as Christians. You can sort of take everything and stick it in those three headings. And you see, there's a reason. It's not just because John's getting old in his life. There's a reason he's addressing these things. And it's because these things were the things under attack in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we saw that in 2 Peter, didn't we? At that particular time in history, the church was under attack by false teachers, by the wolves that Jesus predicted who would come in and separate the sheep and attack the sheep and devour the sheep. And some of that doctrine and false teaching had really started to take root in the church. And so there was a group of people called Gnostics who believed in a thing called Gnosticism. And what they big picture, like what they taught, that one of the things they really messed up was the divinity and humanity of Christ. They just completely got it wrong. And of course, what always happens when we get our doctrine wrong, our practice begins to become wrong. And so their tendency was wrong. They would lead people into sin. There was a rejection. It sort of went two ways. Either there was a complete rejection of anything good in this world, or there was a complete, just absolute free-for-all on anything in this world. And so John is writing really to address those things. And he does it by pulling us back to the fundamentals. Now, it was interesting. I remember a number of years ago, I was listening to a series of sermons, as I very commonly do when I drive, and I was listening to Sinclair Ferguson preach through 1 John. You can find it on a website called Monergism. If you don't know where to find it, let me know if you'd like to listen to it. It's just 50 million times better than what I'm going to say. Yeah, that's encouraging. What I'm going to say over the next few periods of weeks, I don't know how long it's going to be, however long we're going to be in John, he unpacks this. And one of the interesting things Sinclair Ferguson said right at the very beginning, he says it's written very odd, and I'd agree. It does read a little bit odd when you read through 1 John. Not odd as in weird words, but just grammatically it reads a bit odd, like really short, stumpy sentences. And he was wrestling with who it was that wrote it and how old they were and why, because there's no real names here. And he tells the story of talking about this with his wife, and his wife says to him, oh, it's very apparent, John wrote it as an old man. And of course, as our wives are very often correct on these things, he asked her why does she thought that, and she said, read it like an old person. And you know how old people talk, and how they'll talk, and then they'll pause for a while before talking a bit longer. And when they think, they often think in bursts. And he was saying this, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then I went back and read. I thought, actually, yeah, it does read a whole lot like an old person would talk. And so, you know, we have no idea of confirming that's true or not, but it gives you the picture of the sort of man who's writing this. It's a man who's held firm to his faith, who's been persecuted for his faith, and who loves the Church of Jesus Christ very dearly, and who loves his Lord even more, and who is concerned for the well-being of the Church. And so in these four verses at the beginning, just like we always see, he lays the foundation. And the first foundation he lays is he gives assurance to the readers and to us of the things he's going to say and the authority that he has to say them. So in verse 1 he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have touched with our hands, which we have looked upon concerning the word of life. And so he says that the things which we've seen, heard, touched. What's he thinking of? Of course, he's talking about Jesus, isn't he? The word of life. He's talking about Christ. And he's saying, I was there. My dear children, I was there. I saw him with my own eyes. I heard him speak with my own ears. I laid my hands upon him with my very own hands. You can trust what I say. And sometimes we need to hear that, don't we? Because we have doubts. We wonder, well, man, what if it isn't all true? What if it's not true? And the devil quickly comes and whispers into our ear and tries to distract us from the truth. And we need to know that the men who wrote these books, not only were they inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they themselves walked with Jesus Christ. They saw him hang upon a cross. They saw his bodily resurrection. They witnessed him ascend into heaven. They're the ones that are bearing witness. And so as John writes this letter, what he's telling us is, you can trust what I have to say, because I'm speaking not mere opinion, but I'm speaking what Jesus Christ himself would say. I'm saying what I have heard, I'm saying what I've seen, and I'm saying what I've touched. But not only that, he goes a little bit deeper and he pushes into the doctrine. He says, not only do I have this foundation which rests upon the witness of being with Christ, he has a foundation which is rested upon the doctrine of Christ. Have a look at verse 2. The life, or this life, so he says word of life at the end of verse 1, and then he explains what the word of life is. This word of life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was the Father and was made manifest to us. Now, if you go to covenant, Maybe you're having alarm bells ringing in your head because we've been preaching through the Gospel of John, and maybe all those 2 years ago, two and a bit years ago, you're remembering John 1. Maybe you're just a biblical scholar, and you know exactly where John's pulling from. He's pulling from his own writing, isn't he? He's pulling from his gospel in John chapter 1, those very familiar passages to all of us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was the light. He was made manifest. He was to whom all believe in, they shall become children of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory. No one has ever seen the Father, but he has made him known. And these passages all through John 1 to 18, John 1 verse 1 to 18, this is like a tiny drop summary of that. And so John roots what he's going to say in the foundation of the gospel teaching of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And he says, the one who was made manifest, the one who was made known, the one who was made known by God himself, the one who I've borne witness to because I've seen him, that one is who I'm going to tell you about. That is the one who I'm going to tell you about. He's been manifested, he says in verse 2 and 3. He's been seen. He's been proclaimed. He comes from the Father, and he comes most importantly to restore fellowship. And it's a really touching way he says it in verse 3. So that you too, you know, and John says this to you this afternoon. John says to you this afternoon, so that you too may have fellowship with us. But not just with us apostles. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And you see, so what John does is he invites you and me to come into fellowship with him, but not just with John. With the one whom John has fellowship with. And so as an old man, he says to us, my dear children, come and taste of what I've tasted. Come and experience the fellowship that I have experienced in the Son and in the Father. And so he's writing, just like following on from the Gospel of John. You remember Gospel of John, he says, I'm writing so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have eternal life in him. Now he's writing so that you would continue on in that faith, and you would continue having fellowship, and you would remain faithful to the end, and you would have eternal life secured in Christ. But then lastly, he makes this beautiful statement of why he's writing, and you get to see the heart of John in this. So it's not just about doctrine, it's not just about witness. He's writing because he loves these people. He's writing because he has a pastor's heart, a minister's heart, an apostle's heart for these people. Have a look at verse 4. He says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We're writing so that our joy might be complete. And you might ask yourself, well, that seems like a weird statement of purpose at the beginning of a letter. We're writing so that we would be joyful, so that our hearts would be full with joy. So that you're sort of, wouldn't you expect it to be the other way? And it's interesting because certain scribes corrected this and they changed it to your. They changed it to, we're writing these things so that your joy may be complete, because that would be what you would expect. That why does John say our? And it's interesting, isn't it? And the reason why, I think the reason why is very similar sort of impact and feeling that you get when you read the Apostle Paul's words when he says, I am once again in the pains of labor for you, as he writes to the Corinthians, I think it is. And If you've been a pastor, if you are a pastor, you understand this very well. You see, there's a reality which is very hard to express as a pastor, and it's the love and affection you have for your people. And it's the burden, I don't mean that in a negative way, but the burden that they become upon your heart. And what I mean by the burden they become on your heart is that when something goes wrong, it causes you pain and grief. Just like as a mother, you experience when there's something wrong with your children. Doesn't your heart feel broken and you grieve when you see them grieve? You sorrow when you see them sorrow. Well, John is expressing that reality. He says, I'm hearing reports. You know, he's hearing reports that the church is beginning to accept false teaching and it's beginning to reject the fundamentals of the faith, and his heart is sorrowful. And so he writes to correct them, to restore them to where they should be, so that his joy would be full, because his heart will not be satisfied unless his people are rooted in Christ. And I tell you, it's the same for pastors. I've had holidays which have not been holidays, because just before I've gone away, I've learnt that there's something drastically wrong with one of the people. And it weighs upon you the entire time. And it goes on for months, because you long for them to be in Christ. Just like when our children walk away from God, it grieves us, and it never ceases to grieve us, does it? Doesn't matter how much time goes on, it continues to grieve us, and that's the heart of John. And so he's writing to them and to us by the Holy Spirit, because he loves us, and he longs for us to be furnished in Christ. And so let me encourage you as we journey our way through John, to trust what he says, because he is an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. To trust what he says because it's rooted in the doctrine of Christ. And to trust what he says because he loves us and he wants what's for our best. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is rich and true. Thank you for the Apostle of John who wrote this. And we pray that you would help us to learn and to grow and to become more like Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. It's been great to get together. Looking forward to traveling our way through the first letter of John. And I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Have a most blessed evening. Good night.